Okay, so in your books, we're going to read, or we're going to sing Angels from the Realms of Glory, which is on page one.
Could you bring in a couple of books, please?
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the Just leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen the infant star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the
Okay, so now we're going to sing Angels We Have Heard on High, which is on page four.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. The Lord, the
Joy to the World, which I believe is on page 1. Silent Night on page 2. So first we're going to sing Silent Night, and then we are going to sing Silent Night, Peace, Peace together. The ladies sing the Peace, Peace.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright.
This month we have looked at the Christmas story from the reality that God is love, and that the Christmas story is an expression of the love of God. It's interesting to me that the word Christmas actually came out of the Catholic Church back in 335 AD. I was there and remember it well. But the Pope, Pope Justice I, I think it was, wanted to initiate a thing which is called Christ's Mass. The Mass celebrating the advent or the coming of the Christ. And so it's Christ's Mass. And it's interesting to me that when we talk about a Mass, we are not particularly talking about the birth of the Savior. We're talking about the death of the Savior. And so the word Christmas came out of a celebration of the death of the Savior, even though it was first introduced around December 25th. Christmas, or Christ Mass, is the focal point of the birth. I'm not at all sure that the Pope at the time was thinking about it, but Christ came because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son even unto death to redeem the world. And so every time we say Merry Christmas, we're actually talking about the death of Jesus, which resulted in our life. There would be no life for us if it were not for the death of Jesus. This morning, as we celebrate the fourth candle representing the coming of Jesus. I'll just review for a moment the last three, and the last one of the last three candles related to allowing the love of God, the love nudges of God to find expression in our lives. And we talked about that many times we have this desire or a nudge to smile or bless somebody or encourage somebody, and we say, well, that'd be silly. I mean, that would be stupid. What would they think if I hugged them, or if I said, hi, it's good to see you, or if I really was nice, what would they think? And if I were to say something like, I bless you in Jesus' name, they'd really think it was off the wall. I'm not going to do that. And so the third candle was allowing the nudges of God, the love nudges of God, to be expressed in our lives. And that followed the candles that related to, even if I gave all of my wealth to feed the poor and have not love, it accomplishes nothing in terms of eternity. If I give my body to be burned and have not love, it's all for nothing. The purpose of our living is to be moved by the love nudges of God, because outside of that, it accomplishes nothing. So we come to the fourth candle. The fourth candle has to do with the fact that God is love, and that he not only gives us love nudges that every so often we need to express his love in our world, but the one who is love is always love. He is the eternal lover. And the love of God, which has been poured forth in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us, those love nudges are not random. It is the heartbeat of God to touch us and through us touch our world with love nudges. There are days when I don't feel particularly loving. There are days when I don't feel like serving God. There are days when I got my own agenda pretty much centered on my calendar. People who say that they don't have that problem need help with integrity. The Apostle Paul notes that the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the wars against the flesh. That's a reality.
I'm having a hard time keeping this mic working.
That was done in love. The Father is in love mode all the time. And it's we who hinder the flow of love because we have other agendas. And I don't think that should make us feel guilty or evil or something, but rather set it before us as a challenge to be the flow of love that God designed us to be. I have too many things to say and I need to sort it out. I just want you to be conscious of this, that Christmas has to do with Father's love that has been released into the earth for the purpose of healing and bringing life to the people that he has chosen. And you are that people. He has chosen you, and out of his heart of love, he releases into your world his love. And you may recall on the first Sunday, we reviewed what love is. Love is patient and kind and long-suffering and merciful and gracious. God's love is reaching for you here today. We celebrate Christmas as if it were a holiday celebrating his birth, but the very word celebrates his death. And the focus of his birth and life, the focal point of all of it, is his death, resurrection, and ascension. His intent is to release his love and life into us, not just once in a while or an occasion, but as a way of life. This morning we are going to celebrate the real meaning of Christmas, which has to do with the death of Jesus. We celebrate a Mass that is focused on Jesus the Christ. Jesus gathered his disciples together just before the night of his betrayal, and he said to his disciples, "Guys, I have had a very great desire to celebrate this with you." Do you recall that? In John, it says, "With great desire have I desired to celebrate this meal with you." And when he had said those words, he took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take and eat." And he took the cup and he blessed it and he said to his disciples, "This is the cup of the new covenant, the blood shed for the remission of sins of many." The focal point of the Christmas or the Christ Mass is his death to redeem us to himself and to establish us in his kingdom. I'd like to have the deacons come. Are you here? Would you come and prepare to share the elements of the Savior? Father, we thank you for your great love that reaches and reaches and reaches and never gives up. We celebrate your Son, Jesus the Christ, who came with the purpose of rescuing us out of the hand of our enemy and restoring us to the role of son and daughter of the Most High God. This morning, as we celebrate Christ's Mass, we give thanks to you for the unspeakable gift, the great mercy and grace that has been offered to us through him. give thanks. In Jesus' name. Jesus said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take and eat." So would you distribute this to the folks here this morning? Could we sing "Peace, Peace" again? And well, let's just listen to the girls sing "Peace, Peace," okay? And then with the girls, would you just sing the "Silent Night, Peace, Peace" rendition while we receive the elements? We stand together in the presence of the living God. Father, once again, we give you thanks for your mercy and grace. And we open our hearts to receive from you here today. In Jesus' name. Would you, as you receive it, say, "I receive." Take and eat. In Jesus' name. Likewise, when they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples. I often like to remember that occasion and incredibleness of that night when all these Jewish boys heard Jesus say, "This is my blood, take and drink." And that was an absolute no-no. You don't drink the blood. When they killed an animal, you drain the blood. And here's Jesus saying, "This is my blood, take and drink." It's the blood of the new covenant, the blood of a new day, the blood of a new beginning. And so this morning, as we receive such ancient history to us that we almost don't get it, but may we this day receive out of the abundance of the Father, the abundance of his grace and mercy. Let's receive today. We thank you, Father, for your Son, Jesus, who gave himself to establish a new covenant. And this morning, as we receive these elements, we receive your invitation to step into a new covenant. And by your grace and favor, we today step into that new covenant. No matter where we have been or where we are now, we step into that place that you have called us to through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Can we sing that again? Peace, peace. And I'd like you girls to do both the men and the women's part when you get there. Let's hear it from just the ladies. Again, invite you to stand in the presence of the living God. Father, we give you thanks. Again, we give you thanks for the incredible love that sent your Son to rescue us. God so loved the whole world, he gave. Thank you that you gave yourself to rescue us. And once again, as we receive the life, the very life of God. We receive your life. Let's receive rescue. How many of you, once you needed rescue, of course you got it together today, but we receive rescue. He rescued us out of the hand of our enemy. And he continues to rescue us because he continues to love. It's not a random off and on again thing. It wasn't a one-time only thing. It's the eternal nature of God to rescue his children out of the hand of the enemy. And we are rescued and being rescued. Jesus said, this is the blood of the new covenant. And the nature of the new covenant is that which he rescued and he rescues and redeems to himself his own children. Jesus says, would you want to drink to that? Take and drink. You may be seated. You girls can come back again and lead us in singing. But I'd like us to do something we've never done before. We ought to do things that we've never done before, don't you think, once in a while? And I'd like... You never did that before either. But here's the deal. God is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. And the scriptures is just from the beginning to the end. In Genesis, covenant began. And the original covenant maker in Genesis was God himself. He killed an animal and dressed his children. I mean, it begins, never ends. He's a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. And this morning, we have received the covenant meal. But in between, there was a time when Israel was being redeemed or saved out of the hand of the Pharaohs, and saved out of Egypt. And do you remember the story that eventually, after a lot of foolishness, miracle after miracle, and the gods of Egypt were judged repeatedly, and eventually God said to Moses, tell the people to get a lamb and kill the lamb and put the mark of blood over the door, the lintel, the doorpost, because the death angel is coming through. The firstborn will be lost. But if you put the mark of the blood over the doorpost, the death angel will go by your house and you will be spared. And this morning, for those of you that would like to, I'd like to offer you an opportunity to put the blood over your doorpost. Right here. Because you see, you are the temple of the living God. And as a symbol of your understanding that without him, all is lost. It was before you found him, and if he ever disappeared, it would still be. But with him, there is an eternal covenant that is yours and mine. It's ours to celebrate. This Christmas, this Christ Mass, I challenge you to allow the Christ to reveal himself to you in new dimensions, new ways. I challenge you to dare to believe that he's got good for you in this hour. He has good stuff for you. I challenge you to believe it. And I invite you to receive that in Jesus' name. Would you just lead us in a couple more songs, girls? And Betsy, would you come to me? Come with me, Betsy. What are we going to sing next, and what number is it?
A Little Town of Bethlehem, number 5.
In this song, there is a verse that says, how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. And I want you to recognize that the writer of this song understood something. God does stuff and you don't even know he's doing it. It's how silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. So I just challenge you today as we sing the song, recognize something that God is imparting. God is releasing his grace into us. In Jesus' name. Welcome to go to the table and take some of the blood and place it on your temple if you feel so desire. Do it as we sing.
O Holy Night, which is page 3. Thank you.
stars are brightly shining, it is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul
Hark the Herald Angels Sing is number 5. Time, behold his come.
Thank you, ladies. Father, before you, we come to receive from you. Lord, I just release in Jesus' name a release of your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit on every single person in this room, I pray. That your presence would so fill us up that we would receive something of you today that we've never had before. I pray for every single one. Pour into us even now. In Jesus' name. A couple of quick announcements this morning. First of all, Paula's not here today, but she wanted to make sure that we just told you guys how grateful we are for all that went on in the last week and the preceding ones. 10.7 billion cookies. How many really was it? I can't remember.
It was 450 trays, and there's about 10 cookies to a tray.
So, really, it's not billions.
Yeah,
lots of cookies. You built lots of cookies sugar, and lots of
many sugar highs all over the area.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to let you know, it was this last food pantry was just a fantastic time. There was just tremendous ministry that went forward, and I just want to thank you all for your intercession, for your physical support, for baking cookies and sometimes rebaking cookies. I don't know how many dozen that was that had to get rebaked, but I know that there was a bunch of going on. I just want to say I really appreciate you for all of everything. And, you know, I don't know about the rest of you, but I was pretty toast on Thursday night. I was pretty whopped, but what a blessing. And, I don't often tell you all of the stories. I can't tell you all of the stories of all of the ministry that goes on a given Thursday night. But people's lives are changed, okay? Let me just say that there are many lives that get changed in a major way. You remember my buddy Vic, maybe, that went from always being angry to having peace in his heart and forgiveness in his heart, okay? I met with him again this last Thursday night briefly, and he just wants more. You know what? There's more. God has more for him. If you remember Vicky, go ahead and pray for him. He's a precious brother of ours at this point, and I just am delighted in that. But there was the Lord just worked in such marvelous ways this last week. There was healings. There was salvation. There was just life that went forward. So I just appreciate you all. Another quick announcement. Stephanie's not here today, but she's moving soon. And this afternoon, she has access to a big vehicle. So if you happen to have a strong back and an hour this afternoon, if you know Stephanie, you know, just connect with her, call her, and find out exactly when and where. If you don't, then come and talk to me. I got her number, and we can get you connected. I didn't know until late last night that she's moving the big stuff today. So if you have time, that'd be great. Tomorrow night, 6:30, we'll be here. As you know, our Sunday mornings are relatively free-form, and so then you never really know when it's going to start or end. That's not true of tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, 6:30 to 7:30, it's going to get started and it's going to get ended. Okay, so that's so that you can party on with your family. But tomorrow night is our Christmas Eve service at 6:30, and you're welcome to come. It's always a little different, a little special, so come on by if you'd like. Any other announcements that we need to make? All right. Well, I have like three messages that are mashing around inside of me at the moment, okay? And so I'm just like trying to say, God, what's up? And how do we go forward here? Let me just say, to start us off, that the reality of our existence doesn't make any sense unless you go beyond what is visible. If you don't start with that which is beyond, then you don't have a beginning. If you understand that our fundamental reality is that which, number one, can't be seen, but is the more fundamental and more significant existence, then you have a shot at understanding life. If you don't understand that, then you're going to miss it. Okay? The scriptures are replete with that message. One scripture that I was running into recently. Well, you guys know I preached about, was it last week that I preached about entropy? Was it last week? Anybody remember?
Yeah.
Okay, so last week, the recognition of the law of decay that is in our own existence and everything that is in our lives, there's a decay that happens. Physics can quantify that statistically, but in terms of the reality of our lives, we can see the difficulties of life. And life has a way of decaying, and it takes a lot of effort just to keep my bedroom clean, say nothing about keep my life in order. You understand what I'm saying? And yet, 2 Corinthians, we don't lose heart, for though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Last week we talked a little bit about the fact that let there be light is a miraculous statement of creation. And let there be light is a miraculous continuing statement such that the inner man could be renewed day by day. There's just no other possibility that it has to be from outside the universe into the interior of the universe that reality of any renewal at all has to occur. You cannot have inside of a closed system, you can't have order happen all by itself. There has to, something from outside has to come in and touch. So today we're going to chit-chat a little bit about that reality, okay? The reality of how that works in our lives. We're in a Christmas season, and in the Christmas season we remember that 2,000 years ago or so, God reached from outside of the cosmos, outside of, yes, the solar system and beyond Alpha Centauri and beyond the neutron stars and beyond what we can't see, beyond into where there isn't anything. From beyond there, God reached all the way in. God reached all the way in to a woman. He targeted her. You know how he does that, don't you, Kathy? He targeted her, and he knew who he was going after. He was going after this woman, and it wasn't just somebody. It was Mary. It would have been Tessa, but it was Mary, okay? You know, if he had been pointing here, it would have been Tessa. Tessa's my latest friend, one of my latest friends, right? Okay. Not anymore, yeah, because she didn't like to be pointed out here. But God reached from beyond the created realm into the created realm, and he touched a woman. And when he did, I want to say that the results were mixed. You and I know, and we've heard it and we know it, okay, that the results weren't mixed. But I'm going to say it was mixed anyway. You ready? Is that all right? The results were really, really, really good. And the reason they're good is because David has the opportunity to know his Heavenly Father and live in relationship with his Heavenly Father because Jesus came. And there's no mixture of the goodness in that. It's just plain goodness, okay? But for Mary, that was the beginning of entropy in her life. Real difficulty in decay and personal pain. But God was reaching. Now, when God reaches, there's always a reason that God is reaching. And we reflect that reason in one of our habitual deals with Christmas when we give each other gifts. You see, when God reaches, He always reaches for this one purpose, to give a gift. That's what He does. He always, out of His goodness, is reaching in order to give a gift. He reached into Mary's life and He said, "You are going to be with child." And she was confused about that. She didn't know how it would work out. He said, "I got that figured. Holy Spirit will come upon you. Then what's inside of you will be called holy. It'll be something other than. It'll be from without. Not from within the universe, but from beyond the universe. It'll be holy. This child will be the Son of God." And so God did this miraculous thing, and He inserted into a woman a piece of Himself. And that child was in fact Jesus. That child was in fact God. You see, God is always reaching. He's always from without, from beyond, reaching toward us. He reaches toward George. And He always is reaching toward George with good intent to give George a gift. And the gift that He is always reaching to give is a piece of Himself. You see, the model that is the Christmas story is the reality of our lives. And the whole of that is true. Let me say that when God reaches toward you, if you look with all of the eyes available to you, these ones, these socket orbs, you will say that there was mixture involved if you look with these eyeballs. Because, you know, the Christian life isn't full of just all the good stuff. In fact, every Christian that you look in the scriptures, every single one, if you looked with the wrong set of eyeballs, found that it was difficult. But if you look with the right set of eyeballs, it's unmixed goodness of God. And I'll tell you the reason why that is. The reason why that is because you receive, just like Mary did, the Holy Spirit. And that which is formed within you is God Himself. Now, the principle, and I'm going to move away from the principle quickly, so I want you I'm going to repeat it, so I want you to understand it. The principle is that God is always reaching. God is always reaching, and His purpose is always good. And His purpose is always to give a gift, okay? And that gift is always, the gift is always Himself. It's always Himself. Okay, so God is always reaching. He's always good. He's always looking to give a gift, and the gift is always Himself. But it doesn't always feel perfect. It doesn't always feel comfortable. There may be some tears involved with Mary. The picture was, "And a sword will pierce your soul." That was Mary's delightful, predictive thing. Isn't that fun? Let me just say that the reality of the Christian walk, if you look at Paul, Paul was having a great life. Okay, he had a great life working. He was named Saul, actually, at the time. He had a great life working. He was super religious. Everybody knew him. He was a fantastic dude. Okay, in fact, he was so good, everybody knew how good he was. Okay, that's how good he was. And he was all messed up. And then something happened, and Jesus showed up. And he saw Jesus. He got literally knocked off his horse. And from then on, all sorts of stuff happened to him. You can read in Acts, I can't even remember how many times he was flogged and shipwrecked and beaten and imprisoned. And yet the most joyful man and the most faithful man, he wrote large fractions of your New Testament, mostly from prison. Not that easy, okay? Not that easy. One of the scriptures, maybe I'm not sure I have it here or not. Let me just look real quick. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? This is 2 Corinthians. He's like always having to argue. You know what? Listen, I really do know God, even though you see me getting whopped. I really do know God. Although you see it's down and I'm getting, you know, my butt kicked. It's because of His glory. But let me tell you, he says some things, and I'm skipping around all over the place, but let's just go this. This is what he says. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, I could read to you the previous stuff, but let me say to you, the stuff that we have that is valuable is only the stuff that's eternal. And the stuff that's eternal, that is valuable, is housed within something that's not eternal. Okay? This flesh and even my life, the stuff of my life, the circumstances that happen around me, those aren't eternal things. Those are temporal things. Those are things within the cosmos, within space-time. Those can house, or they don't have to, but they can house eternity. And it's what is housed within the earthen vessel that makes the difference. It's what's housed within the earthen vessel that makes it meaningful. Life is meaningful because there's some real stuff inside of who I am. We hold this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, not crushed, perplexed, not despairing, persecuted, not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, and always carrying about in the body, in our body, in this thing right here, always carrying about in our body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. So now, let me say to you, God's always reaching, He's always good in reaching, He's always good in giving a gift, and the gift He's always giving, it is Himself. But He gives it to us, and we're not perfect people. And furthermore, even if we were reasonably perfect, let's just take a Paul and say he was reasonably perfect somehow or another, okay? Even in that situation, the difficulties of our lives would not be excluded, okay? Life has difficulties, that's just how it is. And honestly, you know, if you were going to measure Paul's life or Jesus' life or anybody else's life based on what you see with your eyeballs, you'd have to call them all pretty much failures. But if, on the other hand, you have the opportunity to see with the eyes of the Father, you'd see things differently. I'm going to get right to the end, and then I'm going to go back. But the end is, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth, looking for those whose hearts are completely His. And what's He about in that process? Why is He looking for these people? You remember? To show Himself strong, to be absolutely powerful on their behalf. Now, I'm going to tell you something. He's looking for what's inside the earthen vessel because He wants to do something. Yes, for you, and yes, through you. Let me just say that so often we want the thing that's for us, and trust me, I do too, okay? I do. I really do. But we also need to recognize that the thing that's through us is the more important piece. You see, he's actually more for us when he works through us than he would if he worked directly for us. If he gives us what we want, that's cool. But if he gives us what we really would want if we knew what we wanted, that's even cooler. Okay, do you see what I'm trying to say? Does that make sense? He has his eye on eternity. Sometimes we get confused about what's eternal and what's, you know, what we need now and what we need then. You know, and you know, you guys know my life has not been always so simple. You know, and sometimes you hardly even know how to think or pray or live. You know what I mean? Now you can stay and you can be faithful and you can walk and you can say, I love God and I don't know what in the world's going on in my life. You can say all those things and those are legit things to say. And Paul could have said every single one of those words. But the reality is it's what's on the inside. It's the treasure on the earth and in within the earthen vessel that matters. So now that's all messages 1 and 2, okay? I'm going to get all the messages in that I had, okay? So here's the other message that I want to get a hold of, because I feel like it ties the other messages in together. So here's the last message. You ready? Jesus said, John chapter 14, Jesus said to his disciples, and in particular, I think it was Philip. Well, let me start. I'm going to start in John chapter 14, verse 1. I just want you to hear it. Don't lose me here, okay, even though I'm just going to read. Okay, don't lose me. Do not let your heart be troubled. Okay, what Jesus is saying in these verses is be encouraged. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Now, the reason he would say don't be troubled is because you could be troubled. Okay, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, he wouldn't say don't be troubled if you were, you know, floating down the lazy river, you know, with basking in the sunshine in every aspect of life, right? Don't be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And then he sets the stage. Just as I told you, we have to set the stage. He sets the stage. He says, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. He says, there's this eternal thing that you have to keep your eyeball on, because that's how you stop being troubled. Okay? Keep the eternity in mind. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will again come and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going. This is where Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. You see, he clearly shows us, first of all, that it's the outer reality that's important. And the actual destination in the outer reality is the Father. No one comes to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. This is key right here. This is key. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus said these words. Now catch these words and catch the heart of them. Have I been so long with you and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Here's the truth. When you see Jesus, you see the Father, okay? And there's something that happens to you in terms of belief, in terms of faith, in terms of the center of your reality, where your real reality is, when you see the Father. Now Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Dave, I'd like you just to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Go ahead, say that.
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Now, do you like saying that?
Not really.
Why?
Because everybody's looking at me.
Well, all right. Besides that?
Because it doesn't feel true.
Okay. Sometimes it doesn't feel true. Why doesn't it feel true? Somebody throw something out at me.
Because all children are different from their parents.
Okay. Well, that's true. All children are different from their parents.
We're talking about.
Yeah. That's, and we have our different. You know what? Part of the reason is that I know that I haven't perfectly exemplified the Father, right? Right? I mean, honestly, down in the back of my mind, I know better, right? Don't you know better than to compare yourself to God? We all know better. But let me just tell you something. It's not the earthen vessel. It's the treasure. You know, Jesus was bleeding at one point out of too many places, right? But if you've seen Him, you've seen the Father. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Inside of this vessel, inside of me, bleeding perhaps, okay? Maybe whopped, maybe beat up. Maybe not doing that great today. Inside of me, there's a treasure, Dave. Inside of me, there's that same exact treasure that was inside of Jesus. I too, just like you, Dave, I am a son of God. Just like Jesus, your elder brother, you are a son of God. And inside of you is the same gift. God reached in, and He reached in with good intent and to give a gift, and the gift was Himself, and He poured out His Holy Spirit within you. And that same thing that's inside of you, that treasure, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Now, you know, one of my big problems is, you know, I sometimes tutor Charlie, okay? And you know, Charlie sees me on a good day. And maybe that day, Charlie sees the Father. Okay? Maybe. Okay? But what if Charlie sees me on a bad day? Okay? Kind of down. I'm exhausted. I can't figure it out. Right? Right, Charlie? You've been there. Okay? You know, whoa! Then does he see the Father? What about my inconsistency? There you go. What about my flesh? What about it? Let me just say, I'm not saying that I'm not working on being more consistently connected to the Father, okay? But I'm going to tell you the mechanism by which you can be more consistently pouring out for Hannah, okay, the perspective of the Father, or that when Hannah sees you, that she sees the Father. The mechanism isn't by you starting to get a lot better and, you know, maybe I should have drunk a few more, you know, energy drinks before I went to see Charlie, right? And then maybe he'd see the Father better, right? If I just fix up my earthen vessel a little bit, maybe Charlie could see the Father, right? If I could just maybe medicate my earthen vessel, right? Let's get this earthen vessel to look just so. Or maybe I need to spend more time looking at Jesus and seeing the Father. So that same reflection that's through Him, that same light that's within Him would be poured out of me. I know I have a scripture here that I want to share with you. God said, light shall shine out of darkness. This is 2 Corinthians also. This is the earthen vessels. I'll get right there in a minute. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. What darkness? Guess what? He did that right in Genesis. You know, Genesis chapter 1. Let there be light. Light shined out of darkness. Out of nothing came someplace, time, and something. Out of nothing. There wasn't anything. There wasn't a place. There wasn't a time. Out of nothing, God says, let there be light. And because He said, let there be light, space was created, time was created, and stuff happened, and light shone. That's how it happened. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. So when we're looking in the right direction, we're absorbing, receiving that light. But, this is the very next verse, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. You see, the dynamic is not to fix yourself up till you're perfect. Because if you wait till you're perfect, my guess is you'll die first. Sorry to be disappointing to everybody.
In other words, 10 out of 10 people are not perfect.
Yeah, you got it there, buddy. You got it. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10. We're not perfect. We are earthen vessels. And unfortunately, I'm not as consistent as I would like to be. Okay? You know, actually, Charlie probably doesn't remember seeing me down very many times. Okay? But you know, my kids at home, they have seen me down. You know what I mean? Okay? Yeah, I've managed to screw up a problem or two when I'm working with Charlie, but whatever. I always had a good face on it, didn't I? Didn't I always put a good face on it, Charlie? Come on. All right. So the reality is that you know, when I'm on, you know, I'm in the pulpit here, I'm smiling, right? Right? But, you know, when I'm at home, I may or may not be. Right, Betsy? Yeah, that's what I thought. Here's the truth. I'm not as consistent as I'd like to be. But the game isn't to put on consistency or to weight myself down with the requirements of the law. Remember that those who have the law lived with a veil, okay? They lived with a veil. That's another scripture I have here someplace. And if I just go through it in an order, maybe we could even understand it all. But instead, I'll just give it right now. We are not adequate in ourselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Not that we're adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, okay, not of the law, not of do this and don't do that, not of, you know, make sure you, well, you better. No, none of that, okay, none of that. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, because the letter kills, but the Spirit brings life. But if the ministry of death, the ministry of death being the law, okay, remember that. Anytime you're condemned because of your inconsistency, Jocelyn, okay, when you're feeling condemned and maybe like the earthen vessel can't possibly show through the glory of God because of, you know, your inconsistency, okay, Then let me say that's the letter and that's the law that's beating you up. You have no condemnation, you who are in Christ, Jocelyn. We have no excuse for being condemned, okay? Can I just tell you that? Kathy, you have no excuse for being condemned. You are not under the law. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the truth. Anyway, I'll get back to this scripture. But if the ministry of death and letters engraved on stone came with glory so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading though it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more glorious? I'm going to skip ahead a little bit. Their minds were hardened. For until this very day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed only in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, I have a question for you. If Jocelyn's over there feeling condemned, what should she do about that veil? She should turn to the Lord, because then the veil is taken away. Let me tell you something. When I feel inconsistent, or when I feel like, I'm not so great, okay? And how could anybody want to, you know, go with the treasure in this particularly very earthen vessel? What do I do? Turn to the Lord. Whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Now, here's the deal. You are called this Christmas or any other day of the week or year or life. You are called to house in your mud jug, your earthen vessel, your mud jug. You're called to house a treasure. And that treasure isn't called to be hidden. Yes, you have your earthen vessel thing working, okay? It's there. And, you know, people that know you well will see it, right? No doubt. You can, you know, pretend in front of some people some of the time, but you can't pretend in front of everybody all the time, okay? That's just the truth. But there's treasure there. And the way that treasure lights up is when you look to the face of God. Because what they need to see inside of you isn't really you per se. Yes, it is you. But it's Him inside of you. You inside of Him inside of you. Shining out the light of His glory. And the way you see that, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And the truth is, if you've seen Hannah, you've seen the Father. And the reason is because she's seen the Father. And so what's happening on the inside of her is lit up by what she sees. Now, I'm going to call you again this Christmas to a place of recognizing the foolish veils that are before our faces, number one. And number two, doing what it takes to get rid of this foolish veil. And that is you look to the Father. You don't get all religious on me, okay? Don't play games. It's really one thing. It's Him. It's all about Him. It's all about you seeing Him. It's all about you connecting with Him. And then it's all about them seeing Him in you. And yeah, they also see the cracks in that mud jar. Got it. Yep. But He's healing up those cracks too, some of them. And some of them He's going to leave them there for you to help you stay humble. Okay? And to help you stay dependent on Him. Because you know what? If you get too good, the next thing you know, you'll be a golden vessel full of nothing instead of an earthen vessel full of something worthwhile. You know, the cracks do kind of show it through.
But seeing where my failures, my struggles, and God loves me and cares for me, and I take my failings and just look to God and He just showers love on me, doesn't that make it easier? And doesn't that draw you, the person looking on, to the Father also? Is that...
That's the light. That's the light shining out through the cracks in the broken vessel. Okay, that's the truth. And it's essential. I'm going to tell you something. One area where I believe that so often the church in general has screwed up is by being so perfect on the outside, because we're not perfect on the inside, okay? So perfect that nobody knows that imperfect people need God, and we're all imperfect people that need God. That's just how it is.
Hey, even Paul, when he wrote, he said that he had a thorn in his side. He besought the Lord three times to remove it, but it stayed with him.
Yeah. I don't.
But it was bothering him enough to say it.
Yeah.
And then later on in the scriptures, he said, "I have become all things to all people to win them to Christ."
Yeah.
You know, he was saying, "I am a sinner." Essentially, I know what I am, and you see it. I can't hide it. But you see the Father. You're different. You're peculiar.
And there's no doubt that we have all benefited by seeing the Father, by seeing Paul. Sorry if that, you know, blows you out of the water. But when we see Paul, we see the Father. Because you know what? I'm going to just tell you something. Jesus did not come along and waste His blood on the ground to make you a paltry, just barely got in, peon in the kingdom. He didn't call you to be a kingdom peasant. You didn't. Oh yeah, we're all servants of God. Yep, agreed. Slaves of God, sure. Okay. But you know what? Big time. He spent his blood wisely. He spent his blood to earn for the Father sons and daughters, just like him, that he would be the firstborn among brethren. He's not looking for a rabble of subjects. He's looking for sons and daughters of the Father. And yeah, he knows that in the process he's going to take people like me, imperfect, and yet willing to look at him, willing to gaze intently on him. One of the psalms that's been ministering to me recently is oh, I'm sorry, Dad, do you have a comment?
I'd just like to read the scripture, 2 Corinthians, which Richard mentioned. Because of the surpassing greatness of revelations, it's Paul talking, great revelations.
Because of the amazing treasure within that vessel, go ahead.
For this reason, okay, now there's a reason. To keep me from exalting myself, mm-hmm. there has been given to me a thorn in the flesh. You know, we get all hung up on what is a thorn in the flesh. I think we need to get hung up on why it was there.
Yeah.
To keep me from exalting myself,
yeah.
a messenger from Satan, and to torment me. And again, it says, to keep me from exalting myself. In other words, Paul had a problem with flesh. None of us have that problem. Of course, we've gone past that. We've got it together. But Paul understood something about himself, and that was that there's a problem with what I would do if I was left alone. I would exalt myself. I need even the hard things of life to keep me humble. Otherwise, I'm not going to go there. Paul is saying that. Now, of course, in my book, Paul's number one. Yeah, I'm very, very, very serious about it. And yet, he understood that without some of the struggles of life, and of course he's a bunch of struggles in life, there was a purpose behind it, and it had to do with the purification, maintaining his purity.
The truth is, he says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation. And so when you're talking about that, let's rewind a little bit. Paul was good. Before Jesus, Paul was really good. Okay? Really, really, really good. Yeah, he in his veiled state believed himself to be essentially perfect. Okay? Faultless. Faultless.
That's Paul. And probably was telling the truth.
Yeah, he was a very serious individual. And in the place of being, let's just say, demonically impacted, whatever that thing was, something sent by the enemy, in that place, he accepts the difficulty and many, many other difficulties because he doesn't want to go back to that place just before he fell off his horse. You know? He kind of likes having the treasure in the earthen vessel. So let me get back. God is reaching, and he's reaching to you and to me and to the person that lives in your life. God is reaching always for good. He's reaching always to give a gift. And that gift is always himself. Now, he's reaching to you to give himself to you because you need him. And he's reaching to the person that's next door to you to give himself because they need him, right? That person over there, he or she needs him. The mechanism by which we see the Father is we look to Jesus. The truth is you can also look to Dave. Because in Dave's life, you can see Jesus. You can look around and you can see Jesus. But the person in your life does not need a golden pot containing nothing. The person in your life needs to see God, needs to receive that good thing that God has offered. They need to see in the broken pot the treasure of inestimable value. Hey, we're all going to go and see various people, you know, in this next couple of days and whatever. We're going to see a bunch of people. My prayer for you and for me is that they would see the treasure. But let me just say something. It's actually important that they see the earthen vessel as well. Because they know, every single one of them does, that they too are an earthen vessel. And if they can't relate to you on the earthen vessel side of the world, then they'll think you're too good. And the reason that God accepts you is because you're so good. If you can't be earthen, then shut up. But don't shut up. Be earthen, viewing Father, recognizing that His goodness is your goodness, that He has put Himself in you. Welcome people. Welcome people. Estella, welcome people to say to them, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't know, that might sound arrogant, but live it anyway, okay? And here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you find that you are impeded in that statement, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And if it's not about them that you're impeded, but it's about you that you're impeded, then look to Jesus. Because you see, if there's condemnation because you're inconsistent or because of your failures or whatever, yeah, there's forgiveness. Do you know that? I think you do. If there's, struggles with, that you're not good enough or you're not well enough loved, look to Jesus, because you're a son, you're a daughter, you're loved, very loved. If you're worried about tomorrow's failure, let me remind you that that also is covered, okay? And that He has faith for you to believe in Him even for tomorrow's failures. Yes, you're an earthen vessel. But that's the kind of vessel He wants to use to reach the other lumps of clay that need to hold something worthwhile. So that's my message to you. Father, I just pray Your grace over these, Your precious ones. Lord, I pray that you would touch every single one, even yet again, here today. That each one of them will receive something from You. That You would resonate in that treasure part of who they are. That as they look to You, that they would see You and know Your love, Your acceptance, Your empowerment, Your pushing them forward. Lord, I pray that every single one of us would welcome the statement, not just of Jesus, but of each of us. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And I pray, Lord, that again and again and again and again, we will be seen. That they will see us, but see past us into You. That they will know we're earthen, but they will go past the mud and then to know You. And that we contain You. This is our prayer in Jesus' name.
I just was thinking that the lifting of the veil doesn't only help us see the Father, but also helps others see us. Not hidden behind the veil or hidden in our pretentiousness.
That's right.
You know, George, one of my biggest fears, and I talked to you about it because we had dead time to talk about being losing everything, being homeless, and all this yeah. stuff. Jesus spoke to me that day, and it was a couple of days ago, and He said, "Foxes have holes, bears have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay His head." Mm-hmm. And you know, I understand if He hears about the sparrows on the ground, certainly He's going to take care of me regardless.
That's true. Well, I'm glad that you're here, Richard, and we'll pray for you. I'd like you guys all to remember Richard in your prayers. He's been going through some relatively difficult times. He lost his mom just a couple weeks ago, and life's not easy. So you please remember to keep Richard in your prayers. We'll keep on praying for you, Richard. Lord bless you, buddy.